Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Carla Howell. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today. Unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Carla Howell.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvin Vora, representative at large to the Libertarian National Committee, guest hosting for Carla Howell. On this show, we feature libertarian candidates and elected officials who will explain what they'll do to make your life better and to keep America prosperous, safe, and at peace. Learn more about the Libertarian Party at lp.org and facebook.com/libertarians. On the second half of today's show, you'll hear from John Buckley, Libertarian running for Senate in West Virginia. But first, we'll talk with Matt Shutter, the elected Libertarian town auditor in Penforest Township, Pennsylvania. Matt Shutter is an elected auditor in Pennsylvania. He was elected to this partisan office in 2013. As a staunch proponent of transparency in government, Matt was shocked to discover that out of a $4 million budget, $1.6 million was unaccounted for. Other government officials have forbidden Matt, the elected town auditor, from being present for audits conducted by independent auditors. Matt Shutter has refused to back down. He's filed criminal complaints and worked to shed light on this situation. A passionate and effective elected official, Matt shows how much difference even one individual can make. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is such an amazing story and such an inspiring story, and I really want to start at the beginning. Really, what inspired you originally to run for office?
The Ron Paul 2008 presidential campaign really woke me up and realized that one individual can make a difference.
And you have made a difference. Explain now. You have a $4 million budget there, and that seems like over a third of it is unaccounted for. How is that even possible?
Well, back in 2011, the township supervisors, two of the township supervisors, brought it to the attention of the public about the $1.6 million that was missing. Mm-hmm. The FBI is investigating. They brought it to the FBI. And what happened, how it came to the attention, is the auditing file, they were doing an audit, and the auditing file, all the paperwork went missing. And one of the supervisors said, thank God for the state and computers that we can go back. The state went back into their computer to come up with all the paperwork. Okay. Mm-hmm. But since then, there was a lot of finger pointing. Is the money missing? Who took the money? And like I said, there was a lot of finger pointing of mostly dead past supervisors. They were saying, oh, so-and-so took it, or this person took it. You know, so we could take a look at the situation here and say, A, there is no money missing, and I am bringing attention to a dead man's reputation, and we can put this to bed, or B, that the money is missing, and we're putting light on to the people or person that took the money.
Now, what exactly has been your role? I mean, what are some of the things that you've done in this process?
Well, my role is very limited right now, okay, because we have an independent CPA that does the audit. But basically what I've been trying to do is go into the township building, ask for different documents. And every time I try to ask for different documents and actually play my role as an elected auditor, they seem to want to call the Pennsylvania State Police on me.
And they have called, saying that I'm
being disorderly. There was four different times that the Pennsylvania State Police were called on me from Penforest Township Municipal Building, and four different times there was no charges pressed.
That is amazing. I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that your role is limited, because from where I'm sitting, it sounds like your role is anything but limited. It sounds like you are, in many ways, what most of us wish that all of our elected officials were, you know, an advocate for the people, an advocate for honesty, an advocate for transparency. You know, the fact that you've been willing to stand up, you know, I think that
You know, I did take an oath to the Pennsylvania Constitution, the United States Constitution, during my campaign and on Election Day. I handed out Pennsylvania Constitutions. Also, back in November, I ran for Jim Thorpe School Board, and what I did tell people, I will not violate this document. Everything else is up for grab, but the Pennsylvania Constitution and the United States Constitution is my contract with the people of Jim Thorpe and Penn Forest Township. Okay, and when I did take my oath of office, I sworn on both documents. Okay, so I take my oath very seriously, and I think every elected officer should. And that's a problem that we have in government. If they can't take a basic oath to the Constitution, how are we going to have good government?
I mean, I think that's. I think you pretty much hit the nail right on the head there. It is incredible that it's what you're really doing. Essentially, is just doing what, you know, ideally, some people are just supposed to do who are elected officials, and the fact that you are one of the rare ones that actually does any of these things, you know, really just is almost mind-boggling. It really, you know, throws a totally different perspective on some of this material. You know, in addition to, you know, what you're doing right now, you know, you're also considering. You know, speaking of law, speaking of the police, you're also considering actually in an upcoming election running for sheriff. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Next year, I will be running for sheriff as the Libertarian candidate.
Now, a lot of this is a thing that I think that a lot of people don't really know. They don't actually realize that a sheriff has. You know, that's a pretty significant position. You know, sheriff has quite a bit of power to really defend individual rights, you know, to uphold the Constitution. You know, what are some of the things that a sheriff, you know, if you were elected sheriff, what are some of the things that you could do?
Well, what I could do is if there's a warrant out for arrest and the arrest warrant is for a charge of a victimless crime, say, the person was caught, okay, with a quarter ounce of marijuana or something like that, but there was no victim. You know, the victim is that person, okay? Mm-hmm. I could refuse to do that arrest warrant, okay? If there is no crime, if there is no victim, there is no crime, okay? Mm-hmm. That's one thing a sheriff can do. And the sheriff...
Let me just actually go back to that real quick. I mean that is you know that's a pretty you know pretty bold and pretty powerful thing to say, and coming from somebody that's already repeatedly stood up to other parts of government as an elected official, you know, it carries a lot of weight coming from you. Go through that. So what you're saying is that even if there's a warrant issued for the arrest, a sheriff in theory has the power to just refuse to arrest the person.
That's correct. What I would do if I was lucky enough to be elected to Carbon County Sheriff is, and there was a warrant for a person in my county for, like I said, a marijuana charge, I would go to the judge and say, "Who's the victim, Your Honor? Didn't you take the same oath I did, Your Honor, to protect the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Pennsylvania?" You know, where is the victim? The victim is the individual. Doesn't that person have a right to put into their body what they see fit? You know, and what I would stress to the judge is that he took the same oath. I would want to know where under the Constitution this arrest warrant, okay, has its authority. It doesn't. So I would tell the judge, I refuse. Because I'm supposed to protect the people of Carbon County's rights under the Constitution of Pennsylvania, and so is that judge.
Absolutely, and that's really, you know, we put so much, you know just the average person, we put so much emphasis on the really, you know, like federal elections, and obviously those are extremely important, but really, you know, county level elections, there's so much that a dedicated defender of the Constitution, someone who's really dedicated to looking out for individual rights, can really accomplish over there. We have this one thing that a sheriff can do, which is as an example, if there's a small drug charge, just refuse to serve the warrant. What else could that allow?
Well, you know, not so much right now, but we're recovering. But Carbon County is still in an economic downfall. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're seeing day to day a lot of sheriff sales. Okay, mm-hmm. So if somebody has a foreclosure on their home, and the bank didn't go through the proper procedure. Mm-hmm. Okay, the sheriff could refuse to foreclose on the person's home. Hey, we bailed out the banks, but do we bail out the individual? Do we, you know, in the United States, you know, what we have is a corporate government, you know, phony corporatism, mm-hmm. okay, not a free market. So also a sheriff can look at it and say, you know, yes, the bank or no, the bank, and if the answer is no, go to that judge and say, the bank did not follow the proper procedure, Your Honor, mm-hmm. and I'm here to protect Mr. X and Mrs. X, or just Mr. X, or Miss X, mm-hmm. okay, so right under the Pennsylvania Constitution. Again, you would say to the judge, didn't you take the same oath? Where does the bank have the authority to do this? So there's a lot of different things, you know, a sheriff can do. Basically, the sheriff is an elected supreme law enforcement officer mm-hmm. of the county, and he is there to make sure that our rights as Americans are protected. I'd like to go even further, if I can. Okay,
Let's go further right after this break, because I want to, you know, this is such an important topic, and I really want to make sure we give it the proper amount of time. So let's come back to this in just a couple minutes. We're talking with Matt Shutter, the elected Libertarian town auditor in Penn Forest Township, Pennsylvania, who is also going to be seeking election as sheriff in the upcoming election. He aims to bring transparency and fiscal responsibility to local government, which he's been doing already. And as sheriff, he intends to protect individual rights by, among other things, refusing to serve warrants for victimless crimes, for example, possessions of a small amount of marijuana. You can connect with him at facebook.com/Matthew.Shutter. That's SCHUTTER.1. Be sure to visit LP.org to learn more about the Libertarian Party. And please join the Libertarian Party and help us work for you. You can choose to get active, meet great libertarians in your area, and learn ways you can get involved. Help us improve transparency, defend individuals, and downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm Arvin Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments at lp.org. Here again is Carla Howell.
I'm your host for today, Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Matt Shutter, the elected Libertarian town auditor in Penforest Township, Pennsylvania. You can connect with him at facebook.com/matthew.shutter.1. Matt, let's continue talking about your planned run for sheriff and what are some of the things that you could do as sheriff to protect individual rights.
Well, you know, back in 2012, our Congress and President Obama passed a bill for the National Authorization Act, okay, which they do every year, or the National Defense Authorization Act. Every year they do pass this, and it's a defense of that, you know, to give provisions on our military. But what was happening in 2012 was 1022 and 1022 of amendments of that bill are they put language in that the war on terror is global, and the war on terror could be in American citizens, and they put provisions in there that people would lose their rights if one person had suspected of you being a terrorist, and that's the President of the United States.
Okay, so you're saying
that's
the President of the United States
could... because a terrorist is an act. We're at war with an act. You know, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Now, as sheriff, what I can do is I can fight the federal government, and I have the authority under the Constitution to do this. So, say you're a person in my county is claimed to be a domestic terrorist. Okay, I can say, you know, what do you got against him? I can stand up and protect that person's rights, and if the federal government did not get warrants to search the person's houses or did not have probable cause or a lot of different things, I can kick the federal government out of my county and say, not here.
So,
and that's the difference between a constitutional sheriff and your regular sheriff. Constitutional sheriffs will stand up and fight for your rights and fight for what the rule of law is, which is the Constitution.
So what you're saying over here is not that you would never, you know, try to, if somebody, if there was a legitimate warrant, you know, obviously you'd enforce that. But what you're saying is if in total violation of the Fourth Amendment, with no warrant, with no due process, with none of the things that the Revolutionary War was fought for, with none of those, if the government tries to bypass all of those, what you're going to say is we fought the Revolutionary War for this amendment, and I'm going to stand by this constitutional amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and insist on due process for every single person in the county.
Absolutely.
That, I think, is just such an incredibly powerful statement, and I think that's something that's going to really resonate with a lot of people, because the, I mean, when we see the response to, you know, the NSA warrantless surveillance and the Patriot Act warrantless surveillance and all these different types of warrantless surveillance, you know, that's not really what America's about. It's not what the Constitution's about. It's not what any of those things are about. Tell us a little bit more. Let's go back a little bit to the present. I mean, what you're planning as sheriff sounds amazing, but what you're actually doing right now as a township auditor is also pretty amazing. Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening over there right now.
Okay. You know, like I said, you know, basically I'm trying to find out if the money is missing or or not. Okay. I do know in February of 2013 that the township supervisors voted to shred documents, financial documents, and they did not specify what documents they were going to shred. And supposedly, they put them on microfiche. Now, I filed a right to know with the township to find out what documents were shredded, and I would also like to see the microfiche documents. Never got a response from the township. Every time I questioned, okay, what documents were shredded, again, the Pennsylvania State Police were called. You know, there's several times. Also, when I first got elected, the township solicitor asked me to meet with the Board of Supervisors and themselves. And, you know, when I first got elected, you know, they were late with the 2012 audit, 10 months late, and I requested, which I had the Wilkes-Barre Independent Gazette with me, a reporter from the Independent Gazette, I requested to meet with the CPA firm and see if I can sit in on the audit, just to observe. Their response was, I'll see what I can do for you, which that person that said that was Butch Reiner, the chairman of the township supervisors. About 25 minutes later, the Pennsylvania State Police were there. That was a response. But to get back to what I was saying about the township solicitor asking me to meet, okay, and see if we can come up with an agreement, get to introduce each other, you know, get to know each other. And I asked the township board why, at that time, were they, you know, were the police called on me? And their response was, their number one job was to protect employees. And they were afraid that I was going to come into the township and shoot the place up. Now, about 20 miles south of here, about 10 months ago, there was a resident that came into a township and did shoot the place up in Rush Township, Pennsylvania. You know, and I was a little offended at that comment, and I said to the supervisor that said that, you know, do you have any proof, okay, that I'm going to go and shoot the place up? Did I ever make any threats, violent accusations? Because if there did, I'd be surprised, because I took an oath not to use force or fraud to gain my political way. And the person responded, I don't need proof. Your reputation precedes you. And I was like, what reputation are we talking about? The reputation that honors the Constitution and stands up for what's right? He goes, yeah, that's what reputation we're talking about. And I reminded the, you know, the Board of Supervisors that Article 1, Section 21 states that the rights of the people to keep and bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. I also questioned the board when I said, and state. And I asked them, what do you think that means? Because you took the same oath I did. I think it means to stand up for our rights and protect our state. If the government wants to be tyrannical, you know, federal government, we have a duty to stand up and fight them with every means possible.
And so, you know, we're actually talking about, just to make sure it's clear to the listener, we're talking about you, who as a libertarian have taken the libertarian oath, which is not to use force or fraud to obtain, you know, for political purposes. You're also the elected town auditor, where it is ostensibly your job to make sure that this stuff is done in some sort of a correct or transparent or, you know, timely or, and the response has been to basically stonewall you, or to each even call the police on you, who obviously never arrested them. There's no charges filed because you didn't, there's nothing to file charges on. And
yeah,
it seemed,
the last time that there was, they did call the cops. I did have a trooper say, the next time that I come into the township building, I will be arrested. Yeah, I got a phone call by that trooper, and I asked the trooper on what charges, and the trooper said disorderly conduct. Now, in Pennsylvania, there's two different charges for disorderly conduct. One could be a misdemeanor, and one could be a summary offense. And that's what I asked him, which charge would that be? And he said, summary offense. And I asked him, well, you know, you weren't there at the time. You know, what is your evidence? You know, what do you have against me? He said, I don't need any. Well, at that, you know, I asked that trooper to recite his oath to me over the phone. He could not. Okay. And I said to him, you know, please do charge me. And I said some few foul words and called him a Nazi, pushing to the point that he would charge me with something because I love to get that Nazi in court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because what that officer did was called official oppression. Okay. He's using his badge to bully me. Okay, and also the township is using official oppression to bully me and harass me from doing my elected duties. Now, for official oppression to be used, it doesn't have to be to an elected officer. It can be anybody. So, you know, when we see videos of the police doing things like using tasering people while they're cuffed, using excessive force, that's called official oppression. And I believe it's in most states, but here in Pennsylvania, the citizen has a right, okay, to, you can look up on the internet, it's called a private criminal complaint. You have to do a little homework, but Title 18 is the criminal titles, okay. If you do a little homework, you can get the section and title and file a private criminal complaint with your local district attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And your district attorney has to approve it or disapprove it, you know, or deny it. If it's denied, they got to give you a reason why it's denied and how to appeal. Here in Pennsylvania, you would appeal to, you know, the clerk of courts, okay?
Sure.
And you can file an appeal. There's some fees for that, okay? And you will have a judge hear your case.
So that's,
you know, the Constitution gives us provisions on fighting tyranny, you know, fighting the wrong thing. And
exactly.
That's what I did say to that officer, you know, you're very, you're using your title, you're using your badge, you're in violation of official oppression, and if you don't stop it, I will go down to the courthouse and file claims against you.
And that's
your
really
badge does not
there.
Give you know you're not above the rule of law.
Exactly, and that's a really powerful message. I think you've really made clear that that even the state, even the government, has to follow the laws, and those laws are codified in the Constitution, both in the state Constitution and the federal Constitution. Anyway, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And if I can give a shout out, on May 14th in Jim Thorpe, PA, we do have a Facebook page up. We are doing a fundraiser for Ken Kwiatkowski, our governor candidate for the Libertarian Party, and I would appreciate people looking at the Facebook page for that.
Sounds good. All right, and you can connect with Matthew at facebook.com/matthew.shutter.1. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora, guest hosting for Carla Howell. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.